Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Just gonna have church. I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, He will. Oh,
I was checking phone lines. I'm good. How about yourself?
I am wonderful. B-Ray, you started a topic of how to heal or dealing with church hurt. And I continued on a topic, and I don't think I gave enough answers to the world, not only to Ms. Kia D, who was listening, and I'm sure she'll be joining us later. And so we are going to do a part two, I guess a part three, and we're going to talk about how to heal from sexual abuse that is done in the church.
Okay, sounds like a good topic.
I have a pastor online. Again, you know, when we deal with subjects like this, I love to get the pastor's opinion, one who has the responsibility of the flock. And we have a remarkable pastor with us right here from Fort Worth, Texas, Pastor Marcus. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me pretty good? I'm on my Bluetooth. If I need to get off, let me know.
No,
you're coming
sir.
In loud and clear.
Perfect.
Okay. Yes, I'm here.
If you don't mind, give us a quick introduction.
All right, I bring you greetings from Fresh Oil Worship Center, Fort Worth, Texas, 2638 North Edgewood Terrace. We're located right off of Lancaster, behind the Save-A-Lot. Those who know where Save-A-Lot is on Lancaster, we're right behind there. And on Sunday morning, we do have Sunday school. We're still having it since the COVID virus. We've been having it on the conference line, and we have Sunday school at 9:30, and our morning worship is at 11 a.m. We do have two access numbers, phone numbers, and then we have an access code. So those who would like to write down these numbers, you can. You're more than welcome to come on. We have Wednesday night service as well. And on Friday at midnight, we have midnight prayer. Amen. And so these are our services. So that number is 712-832-8328 or 425-436-6260. And the access code is 118-0650 #. Amen. So these are our services. Go ahead, Brother Joe.
All righty. It is not a problem. We're going to get into one more song, B-Ray, and then we're going to go right into our conversation.
All right.
Listening to We Talk Radio. Here you go.
When we use our lives to bless others, it makes the world a better place. So I reached out to some of my friends that I know have blessed the world to encourage you to find a way.
Bless somebody else.
Bless somebody else.
I know. God has been faithful every day.
Yes.
And I believe God's hand is on.
my vow.
Lord, sing the harvest.
Every time you bless.
Every time you bless.
You can trust
you
me.
You can trust
to
me.
To bless somebody else.
Trust me to bless somebody
else. Pass the smoking off of my man.
Lord, sing the harvest.
Sing the harvest.
And every time you bless.
The beautiful Lyrica Campbell.
You can trust me.
Gentlemen, right here on We Talk Radio. This is Mind, Body, and Soul with your host, Big Joe. I am Big Joe. D-Ray, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we're going to dig into this conversation. Pastor Harris, are you there? Pastor Harris.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm here, man.
Oh.
How are you?
All right. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
We're right here with Pastor Marcus Harris from Fresh Oil Worship Center, and we're discussing sexual abuse that is done in the church. How do we heal? Pastor, there is a lot of well, I won't even say it's a lot because there are more, there are a lot of good pastors out there. There's a lot of good shepherds out there. But we're running into a problem where we're having predators in the pulpit. I really got to ask the tough questions. I really got to. Got to know. There's a story. D-Ray, can you recap the story for us?
Okay, so a pastor by the name of Philip Joubert of Community Baptist Church in Bayside told the Queen Supreme Court that his daughter's testimony of him sexually abusing her was legit. Joubert, who's 50, was accused of raping his then 13-year-old daughter at their Bayside home in 2009. Her testimony alone proves beyond a reasonable doubt that he raped her. Assistant District Attorney Lauren Parsons said during Monday's summation, the pastor Joubert is charged with rape, incest, sexual abuse, and endangering the welfare of a child. And if convicted on the top court, first-degree rape, he could face up to 25 years in prison, the Queens District Attorney said. So, Parsons told the jury that the young woman's testimony should be enough for them to return a guilty verdict. And then, let's see here. It is in a written statement given to detectives the Special Victims Squad when he was arrested November 24th, 2009, he said his daughter came into his first floor bedroom one night and climbed into his bed and touched her on the vagina only after she touched his penis. But he denied having intercourse with her. During open argument, the lawyer for the pastor said his client was in a weakened condition when he wrote the statement due to type 2 diabetes. If he were really having a diabetic emergency, as the defense claims, I submit he would not have sat down and put pen to paper as he did. Parson said to the jury in her closing argument, it is not her word against his. It's, you have corroborating evidence. So the pastor's daughter returned home a few weeks later, and on the night of November 14th, he struck her twice when he found his apartment missing. The young woman then told her mother that night during the stay at her father had he had abused her sexually, and her mother decided to wait 3 days until Joubert left for a trip to Israel to contact the authorities. The mother and daughter traveled to Queens, where the young woman initially told detectives that her father touched her inappropriately, but then modified the story and told the detectives that he had raped her. That's the summation of that story.
Okay.
The reason why I brought the story up is because, again, these type of things are happening, and the victim is left there shattered. How do they get to a place where we can heal?
Okay. So that's two questions. The first question is, how do we know when there are predators in the pool pit? Am I right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, you got to go back in history. History through, you know, the black race and how incest was incorporated into a lot of our families. And these, after generations, without anything being done. And so even the Bible says that the curses from their fathers go to the fourth generation, the third and fourth generation. It falls upon them. So we got to look at history and know that. Wait a minute. Let me get through. So we got to look at history to know that these things are in families, okay? And so it comes up through generation after generation. And if it's not dealt with, then that spirit is subject to come up in anybody in that bloodline. So you have generational curses. Now, how do you know they're in the pulpit? The Bible simply tells us that the tree is known by the fruit it bears. Many times it don't come out in their messages. A lot of times men in the pulpit need to be more transparent to the people of God to show their heart to the people and let them know that God is a healer and a deliverer. If you have not been delivered from something, you cannot speak about it. If you got something going on in your life, you can't speak about it unless God has delivered you from that thing. And so this man in the pulpit, if he's a pedophile, if he's a predator, then that it will come out eventually. And most of the time it does come out in their own home. Sometimes it comes out in the church as well. But how do you know? You have to have discerners. In the Holy Spirit, you have to have the Holy Spirit in order to discern a predator or a pedophile in the pulpit, because God will show it. He said, there's nothing hid that shall not be made manifest. And so he said, I will reveal it even unto babes. So, you know, many times out of the mouth of babes, we hear things from God and we don't pay attention, but we need to hear and pay attention. And how we hear in the Spirit. And that's why many people don't know what they have in the pulpit, because they're not praying. They're not asking God about this man that's preaching to them. And that's why when you hear the preacher say that that's preaching in the pulpit, there ought to be some praying in the pews. There ought to be some praying at home. that whatever happens at home will come out in the church. Because this is just to think about where we are now. We're at home now. Everybody in their home. And so the house has to get back in order. I don't know why we're over here, but I have to say this. The house has to get back in order because of what's happening in the world. And God is allowing this thing to happen for a purpose, that the house get back in order. It's from the man and the woman in the house, get the kids together, sit down and pray with them. I don't mean to go all that, but somebody needs to hear that. But how to be healed? This is the rough part, because many people hold it in their heart. They don't want to let it go, and that's why you have many people running from church to church, and they say the church hurt. They've been church hurt before. And they can't sit still in anybody's churches because something triggers that hurt. And then they leave that church. And then it triggers them at the next church. And so they never get healed from it. So they stop all going to church altogether. And the reason being is because they need to forgive. You got to forgive the one that hurt you in order to be healed from that hurt. And now you're talking about the church. Let's look at it this way. Hurt people hurt people. Now, because the church, when you're in the church, when you talk about the church, you look at the church in Acts, and it said there was 3,000 souls added to them. But then another scripture says God added to the church such as should be saved. And so you got to know the difference of who's saved and who's not. And you could know it. God would let you in on it if you're saved. If you have the Holy Spirit, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And he's saying, when you know the truth will make you free. To whom the Son says, free is free indeed. So the healing comes through forgiveness. And, yeah, you forgive that person. You're not going to forget it, but you can't still forgive that person. And God can heal your hurt. Am I clear? Am I on the right page?
You are. But what I'm looking at is, what about the one who don't have a relationship with God?
Exactly.
Bless you. What about the one What about the mm-hmm. one who is trying or starting a relationship with God, and they don't know his mm-hmm. God, they don't have discernment, and they're starting a relationship, a new relationship with God, and then they are hurt or betrayed by someone who they looked up to or who they felt like was going to give them a deeper, the ways to get into a deeper relationship with God. If you don't know, someone would have to teach you how to pray or at least mm-hmm. teach you to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Someone would have to give you an introduction into the Holy Spirit. If you're in the beginning stages of this, if you don't have discernment,
mm-hmm.
how do you heal if you don't know how to trust God? And this was your beginning stages of trusting God, and then you've been hurt in this way. How do
mm-hmm.
you?
Okay. Well, there's still, you're going to have to trust somebody. You're going to have to trust somebody that you share your story with. I mean, if you don't trust anybody, why share your story? If you don't want the help that you need, everybody needs help in some area of their life, whether it's rape, whether it's incest, whether it's, there's many hurt people in the church. They're afraid to come out with those because, let's not go to the church. Let's look at the person that's just coming into the church. So they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to fix it. They don't know anything. But yet still, they're going to have to trust somebody. And that somebody that they trust should be able to share with them something that would help them understand. So I mean, you have to get to, then you might have to take them to a church counselor or somebody that you can really trust. You got to get that person where they need to be. Many times people don't want counseling because they feel like they can handle it on their own. But some people do need real Christians, brother, just anybody, a Christian that loves God, that's in God, that hears God for the people. That's what you need.
Okay, I'd like to welcome to the show, Teeth Malley and Kia D. How y'all doing?
Good. How you doing?
Super duper fabulous. Thank you so much, man. This show is amazing. Content is extraordinary. Pastor, you are on point with everything you are saying. On point. Shout out to T. Smiley. He needed, he's taking his mic. He should be mic'd up here in one quick second. So, yeah.
All right.
Go ahead. Are we still on?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay.
It's funny you mentioned that hurt people, because on Sunday's show, I read a poem about that, and that's the truth, because we really don't know how to forgive and forget, even though that's what we're taught, but it's easier said than done. So when you said that hurt people, you know, I was like, wow, he must have heard our show on Sunday. That's exactly what I said. We was talking about addiction and abuse and all that, and that came up. So you're like right on point with that.
Glory to God.
Do you think that since the hurt started from within the church, they should seek professional medical attention, like seeing a psychologist to talk about it so that they can know how to deal with it? Or do you think they should go to another pastor within that same church and let them know what's going on?
Yeah, they should tell somebody. You always should open your mouth when there's something happening, and that's what that's what I instilled in my kids. I got a son and a daughter, and so very young I started with them praying, and I told them, if anybody touch you, you better say something. I don't care who it is. You know, you got to put it in them. And so when you train them up in that way, they will talk. They will open their mouth and say something. And so you have to instill it as children. You know, they get afraid because somebody threatened them. But you got to instill that as well. If anybody threatened you, saying that they're going to do nothing to you, you know, you just let me know, because I'm your daddy. And that's your mama. You know, you let us know, we're going to get you protected. You know, we're your protection. So you got to instill that into your children and even in church. You instill the same thing in church, in Sunday school. You know, you got to instill these things in young people while they're young, whether at church or at home, because it begins at home. So if you're at home, then you ought to be able to go to the church and say the same thing, because that's the transparency of the church. Amen. Okay. Go ahead. Anybody? Come on.
Kid, are you still with us?
I am. I'm here. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Come on with it. I felt like you were getting ready to say something, Kid. Talk to me.
You know, one of the main problems that I had, I'm actually a survivor. I don't call myself a victim. I'm definitely a survivor. Of sexual assault. It started when I was 11 years old, and it stopped when I was 13 years old. There was a certain time in that sexual assault where this person kind of had me thinking that I was his girlfriend, so I was really confused about all of that, too, you know?
Yeah.
But and this person was the son of the pastor.
Yeah. Okay.
So one of the things that was really key for me is the fact that I felt as if I didn't have anyone to tell that would have my back, that would rescue me, like at all. The person that I did tell was like boosting me up, like, oh, girl, you having sex now? Ooh, whoop, whoop, whoop. All right, you in the club.
Wow.
And it was like, what? Huh? I mean, I don't know how to blame her. She was 16. I don't know how to really, you know, blame her for that. You see what I'm saying? Like, I can't even be mad at her. You know, I can't be mad at anybody, really. I can't even be mad at myself. I was 11, kind of stuck in a situation where I felt trapped. But the thing that was most important that we talked about it before, and I know the reason why Big Joe was saying, Key, I know you got something to say, is because I truly felt as if I had no one that I could tell that would that would support me, not just support me, but that would guide me through that without making me feel as if I was
that
trash.
Would come to your rescue. That would
come
to your rescue.
But at the same time, somebody at the end of that wouldn't make me feel guilty. Like, yes, that might possibly, but I knew that if I told these people that I was going to be trash, and so it was a twofold kind of deal for me. And that a lot of people dealt with that. And I'm sure a lot of people still do. So I'm really glad that you made the comment as a leader of a church, hey, I got to make sure that the young girls know in my church, the young boys know in my church, if somebody is touching you.
That's right. That's right.
Say something.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if it's an adult or if it's another child. Say something.
That's
if you're uncomfortable, say something. Like those things from a leader, because had my leader, had my leader said it once, I don't know who else in the church was affected by this person or anybody else. I know for a fact, had somebody, you know, said something, I guarantee you I would have gravitated to that person. I would have said something. I wanted to say something. I wanted to yell and scream and kick, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, many times, the children that go through that, they often go to another teenager or somebody just a little older than them that's not mature enough to even handle what they're saying. So they're handling it in the foolish way, and that's what makes us, makes the people go into a deeper place in their own mind because they can't trust nobody. And so that's where you lost trust, and that's what happened to you. So then the hurt just filtered, it just got bigger and bigger, because nobody could see where you were, and then the ones that you told couldn't help you where you were, and so that's like an isolated place where you go into depression and then to oppression, but your help that you need. It has to come directly from the throne. I mean, and sometimes it takes that, because I'm me myself. I had to go through some things, being molested by a woman and being molested by a man. So I had both ends of it. And so I had to fight when I was like 12, maybe 12 or 13, I had to fight. In order to stay in the place where I was still a man, you know what I mean? So you got to understand the depth of what God can do when you stand up. When you stand up, that's when somebody's going to listen. And the pedophile had to back up off me because I was standing my ground, and so I had to come to that place in me. And so when you come to that place in you, you'll open your mouth. And that's where a lot of children. That's where a lot of children. They fail at, because they won't stand up because they didn't threaten them, and they're afraid to stand up because they feel like somebody's going to get hurt. And so until that young person stands up in themselves, and that's when they tell. Look at all the things that happen to the women on television. All the stars. He raped me when I was 16, and you 40 now. Really? You're just now saying something. Now you're standing up because you got an agenda, or you have a motive behind you standing up now. After 20 years, 30 years later, now you stand up. No, that don't even sound right. You should have stood up when you was younger.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you. It happened to me when I was 11 years old. I didn't tell. I told my dad before he died, my sister and my best two when I was 18 years old. I told them.
Wow.
But I swear to the secrecy, because it was one of those things where the pastor, we still went to the church. Mm-hmm. I said, not leave this church. I didn't tell my mother until I was almost 40. I just turned 41.
Oh, my God.
I said, God, I can't go. I'm one of those people. Yes. I said, God, I can't go into my 40th birthday, another decade, with this on my heart.
Wow.
I have to release this.
But if you'd have told your mother when you was younger, she would have did it. She would have got it fixed. Mm. You said you waited till you was 40 to tell her.
I waited till I was 40. And my mom was the church secretary.
Mm-hmm. Your mama would have tore that church up.
Yeah, she would. She would, and she told my stepdaddy told me because I told them both together, my stepdaddy and my mom. And he told me, you know, I would have blew a hole in that nigga. Excuse my friend.
I'm trying to tell you. Well, that's the truth. I'm telling you.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I needed that back then.
Yes.
You know. So, what you said is important. You know, one of the things that I needed is rooted and grounded in the Lord, period, point blank. There is no other way. There was no, I went to counseling, and that got me there, but it didn't get me all the way there. The only thing that got me through that thing was the Lord.
Yes.
And then the other side of that is being able to help other people through that. Now I'm able to speak about it. I'm able to help other people. I'm writing a book about it, trying to make sure that young girls don't have to go through what I went through. You have a voice. You got to scream, yell, kick, smoke.
Open your mouth. That's it.
Everything.
That's it.
Do everything you can because your voice can be heard. And we got to let women and these young girls know, no matter what community they're in, they may not have a pastor like you that they can go to. There is somebody in that community. Yes. And that's the important
thing. That's right. Yes. And a lot of times, I don't like to say this, but I fault parents because we allow our children to do so many things when they're young. You know, you're having a sleepover with girls and ain't no telling what they're doing. You got a sleepover with boys, ain't no telling what they're doing. And I kept my kids from that, you know, because I didn't trust anybody outside of what happened to me. You know what I mean? And so you have to have that protection. And without that protection, then you it's like you're leaving your children open to anything because you allow them to go into places to where they didn't need to go in the first place. I don't care if it is your cousin's house, your uncle's house, your auntie's. I don't care whose house it is. It's just the fact that you got to be the protector. I mean, from a child on up to their teenagers, until they know better, until they have some sense, you know. So that's the page I got my kids on. So we bless the Lord. I'm telling you, God has really done a work in you, sister. Yeah,
Amen.
He has done a work in you. Yeah, he's done a work in you. So you write that book. You write that book. Big Joe, what you got going on? What you got? Okay.
I wanted to give a shirt. I'm right here. I am enjoying this conversation. But again, give us your information, please, Pastor Harris.
Okay. Fresh Oil Worship Center, Fort Worth, Texas, 2638 North Edgewood Terrace, Fort Worth. We have our conference line now since the COVID virus has been out. That number is 712-832-8328 or 425-436-6260. And the access code is 118-0650 pound. And our services are Sunday morning at 9:30. We have Sunday school. And Sunday morning worship is at 11 a.m. on Wednesday night at 7. We either pray or the Lord will give me something. I will minister on the line on Wednesday at 7 and then midnight, Friday night. Amen. Since the club ain't open. Since the bars are not open. Since all the stuff's not open. Get on. Amen. And get on the prayer line and get your prayer on. And this is where the church needs to be in this time anyway. Amen. Midnight. Amen. 12 a.m.
Not only the church, this is where the home needs to be.
Amen. That's right.
At midnight, on the knees, praying to God.
That's right.
Now, I did make a statement, and I didn't feel like I helped Kia D enough when I was going through trying to help her, which is the reason why we brought this up again. Or not only just Kia D, but anyone else that is listening. There is somebody that is going through this, somebody has went through this, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to turn. And again, I'm looking at the one that is a babe in Christ or who don't even know God, and they're trying to to get a relationship and been hurt at such a high level.
Yeah.
And you made a statement about level in position, if I'm not mistaken. Can you,
yeah.
do you mind letting us know about that?
Okay, well, when you're talking about a high level, you know, you're looking at pastors. We put pastors on high levels as people, which we should not do because they're human. They're men and women just like we are. They have flaws. They have issues. They have struggles. They have pain. They have hurts just like any other human being. And so when you're talking about a high position, yes, it's a high position. And when that person is in God, and God is using that person on levels where he can touch the issues of the men and women that comes to their ministry. So when you're talking about high level, you got to we hold ministers and pastors at standards. But when you hold that man of God or that woman of God before God, that man and woman of God has to do what the Father tells them. I guarantee this. If you go to a church, if church was open, or even if you got on your conference line or Facebook, whatever that your pastor or preacher is teaching on, and you pray and you say, God, I need a word for this situation. And you pray that prayer and you believe that God's going to give you that word. I guarantee you that person that ministered that word on that line or on that social media, they're going to speak into your situation. Because God hears you. You have to lift that man and woman of God up because they got flaws just like we do. Many of them are dealing with issues just the same as you, Brother Minister Joe, Big Joe, amen, and even me myself. They're dealing with something, whether it's pertaining to their marriage or their personal life, their habits, or whatever it is, they got something going on because everyone on this earth needs some type of deliverance. Every one of us. I don't care how saved you are, how holy you think you are, how you think you are in God, you're going to have some issues. Somewhere in your life, you got problems. Come on, look at David. David had a man killed and slept with his wife. Come on, now he was a man after God's own heart. Look at all the other men in the Bible. Look at Moses. He disobeyed God, slapped the rock 2 times, and he didn't even get to go into the promise. I mean, look at all the things that happened to the men of God in the Bible. Solomon and all his wisdom and how great he was, and he still messed around and committed adultery with Sheba, Queen Sheba. Y'all know the stories. All of these stories have meaning. All those people had issues just like we have. And so we always have to lift them up. Don't lift them up in a high standard in your eyes. Lift them up on high to the Father. Amen. In glory. Amen. Lift them up before God. Put it that way. And that'll keep them high. Amen. I hope that helps somebody.
I have a question. Do you believe that once you have been sexually hurt or abused in the church, more so with the young men, if they have been sexually abused with the church, do you think that plays a role in them wanting to transition into experiment being gay or bisexual or whatever?
Let me show you. Well, like I said, I was hurt that way. Okay? I'm not gay.
Okay.
And I would not be gay. I hope you can understand that. So if they don't fight what has happened to them and to get in the Lord and let him deliver them and forgive those people, they can't be healed from that experience. They cannot be healed. Now, this is what God showed me. He showed me this a few years ago, and I preached this message. He said, David said, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. So every man down here is born in sin. There is no gene to make you gay. Okay? God didn't make no mistake. Okay? God don't make mistakes. And so, every one of us born in sin, but something else shaped your life. It was something you seen, it was something you heard, something you felt, something you allowed, something you got entangled with, something that deceived you. It was something. You know, the television, the family members, something shaped you into becoming what you are. You get it? So we're born in sin, but something else shapes us.
Okay. Because I had some back in my day when I was younger in church, not at my particular church, but at the school that I attended. It was a Catholic school. And we all know that most Catholics, that's where most of the sexual mishaps or abuse is taking place. That, you know, that was out in the forefront or whatever. But I had some friends that was molested by the priest, and like their lifestyle just totally changed. And I thought that was, you know, the cause and effect of
but see, this is what happened to a lot of them. Okay. They get caught in that gender change. Okay. That change of the gender, for as in a male coming into age of puberty or whatever, or a young lady coming into age of puberty, they had not experienced sex. They had not experienced it yet. And so the only experience they had is some priest doing it to them, or some other woman messing with them. And then that spirit gets in them because they're open to sex, but they don't know what sex is. And so this is the only thing they experience. And so they open themselves up to it. And then what gets in them is those spirits. So you got to understand, those priests did it to little boys. Okay? They don't know nothing about no sex. And so there's the young girls and all of that, and nuns and all of that kind of stuff. Don't think them nuns ain't doing nothing. You know, they ain't talking about they ain't getting none. That's a lie. They doing something. So, amen. So I hope to help you. Did that help you?
Yeah. It did. Thank you.
Hey, Pastor, okay. Real quick. My name is I'm T. Smiley.
T. Smiley is in the building.
What's up, Big Joe? What's up, B. Ray? What's up? How y'all doing?
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
So, all I wanted to say, I sat back and I was listening to your testimony. Amazing testimony. About, you know, your personal experience. On both ends. And as a man, honestly, being open as that, you know, God has everything, you know, he has you like in his arms, and there's no person that can judge or that can even speak negative on something that you made so positive, a positive deep statement. And I appreciate I really appreciate that.
Hey, man, that's God, man. That's what he'll do for you if you let him. He'll put his love in you, brother, so strong. Man, look here. You can love everybody.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
The
yes.
same. You'll love them enough to tell them the truth. And that's what matters in this time, man. The truth.
And that's what we need to say is the truth.
Yeah, that's right. It'll unlock you from the lie. That's what the truth is an unlocking mechanism. It'll unlock you from every lie that the devil has you in.
And you know what? And at the end of that, you will be free, free indeed.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, when the sun sets free, it's free indeed.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad as well that you brought up the effect of awareness need to come from the church as well. A lot of times, I think a lot of churches sweep it up under the rug until someone makes a big scene.
Yeah.
And then once they make a big scene, then it's we didn't know, but the signs were there, and we didn't recognize, or we didn't want to pay attention to the sign, but yet they were there.
That's right.
But I'm glad that you said to bring it up in the church to hold the pastors at a standard. And to let them know that they are being held at a standard. It's almost, again, it's not every church, but the ones that have came out with these type of problems, how do we heal? How do we get over it all? How do we get to the point to where we can trust God or even the next pastor that comes in our life? We still have to be able to trust a person to a point. We still have to be able to trust that you're, especially at that level, and I hate to say that, but at that level, it is such a sacred level. And now we're finding predators in the pulpit. Now we're finding just all kind of things at, in a place where they should be protector, not predator.
And then let me run this by you before I don't want to forget this, but many times you could tell when a pastor has an agenda, not saying he's a pedophile, not saying he's this, but he may have an agenda or a motive, is when they are in a conference room counseling somebody by themselves. Understand that? They're counseling the woman by themselves. They're counseling a man by themselves. I think it's supposed to be the husband and the wife in that room or another minister, somebody. You don't be in there by yourself. So that's my point of view. That's what God gave me. You always have somebody in there with you if you're going to counsel a wife and the husband ain't there. Come on now. Wait a minute. That don't even sound right. Well, amen. I know y'all with me on that one.
Amen.
Yeah, that's it, bro.
Yeah, and that is a real good point. That is a real good point because, but what about the person that is private? You know what I mean?
Person
don't
that's
want
private.
Everybody.
Well, if you're married,
what about the one that's not married? What if they're coming?
Okay,
to
well
you
then
she
needs to have somebody. There's somebody else needs to be in there with that counselor. I mean, not just a man by himself, the pastor by himself with a young lady that's single. You know.
You know what?
Anything there should be.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, my uncle is a pastor, and you know, he tells all the elders and the ministers, like pretty much all the men of the church, if I'm in my office and y'all see a female coming into my office, one of y'all need to come. Somebody needs to come.
Exactly. That's right.
You can't be. You can't. No matter who it is, old, young,
right.
It don't matter.
That's right. It doesn't matter. You need a witness. You always need a witness. Yeah. Go ahead, Minister Joe. You was gonna say something, Big Joe.
Oh no. You good either way. Big Joe or Minister Joe, you good either way. This is Mind, Body, and Soul right here with Big Joe. Yeah, you pretty much helped us out a lot. And, again, this is a situation, and we can talk about it for forever. But the major deal is to get to the next level. Is to get over the hurt without pushing it under the rug and letting it build up until you hurt someone else or make a foolish decision because of the hurt.
When
you were hurt in that way, and I hate to bring it up, but when you were hurt in that way, what were some of the things that you had to do to get over your pain?
First I had to stand up to that pedophile, and it stopped completely. But it didn't hurt me mentally. It was just a physical thing. And many times people get hurt mentally, then it really wears on them. It hurt me physically. And I was, No, I'm fighting. Because I ain't finna go through this. I ain't going through this no more. And so in that state, I was always a prayer. I would go to the church because, you know, we stay right next to the church, you know, and I would go to the church and I would get on my knees in front of the altar and pray. And I believe those moments is really helped me growing up as a teenager, you know, and it helped me stay strong because I stayed on my knees. I was a young kid. I was in Proverbs. I was reading the word of the Lord. I didn't understand it, but God later on let me understand a lot of things. And so I had to get in the face of God as a kid and let God fix it, because you can cause a lot of trouble when you're a pastor's kid. They say we're the worst ones, but yeah, I would have did a lot of damage, you know, if I had told my daddy. and Big Joe, you know my daddy, don't you?
I do.
And my mom.
I do.
He was my pastor and my daddy. So what that tell you? And God really had to do a work in me, and to be able to talk about it, He had to deliver me. He had to set me free, and I had to forgive those persons, those people. Matter of fact, it was in the church while church was going on. This particular young lady took me to the bathroom, and that's what happened to me. Took me to the bathroom. You know, they would let good girls take little boys to the bathroom back then, you know. They don't do that now. They dare not. and the little girl, you know, she got drunk. So and that's the end of the story right there. And so, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was crazy. But God let me see a lot of things as a kid. And I had to learn at a young age to learn how to forgive. And that's why God keeps his hand on me. Not saying I'm all of that, no. I just know he anointed me for a purpose. And that purpose is to get his people where they need to be and to feed them the word in due season. So whatever God gives me, I try to give to the people of God and my household as well. Like when I get done with this, me and my 25-year-old, your old son and my 21-year-old daughter and my finna be 50-year-old wife gonna sit down and get in this word and pray together. That's what we finna do as soon as I get off this phone with y'all.
I noticed you told everybody's age but your own. I did notice that.
Huh?
I'm good.
And my 52-year-old self. How about that?
I just noticed that you told everybody age but yours. I'm just saying.
It's all good though. I ain't scared to tell my age, man. We bless the Lord for you. I appreciate you bringing me on the show, Big Joe. Thank y'all for listening.
No problem.
And I pray that I've said something that's going to help you. All that's listening and those that are in the background, you can comment. It's okay. You have a question, I'll try to answer it. If God give me the answer, I sure will give it to you. So those that are in the background that's listening in, you can come forward too. So we bless the Lord for you. Amen. Go ahead, Big Joe.
Now, you said forgiveness. Now, a lot of people don't know how to forgive. Is there even a way that you can explain how to really forgive someone?
Well, it has to be a serious forgiveness. You have to be from your heart, man. You've got to forgive them from your heart, Doc. And then when it's from your heart, then that's when your healing takes place. Anybody can trigger that hurt that you had. It won't hurt anymore. It won't bother you. You can talk about it now. You can release it now. Because you have forgiven them, and God has forgiven you. You know, you go to God and ask God to forgive you, whatever you did to allow this to happen to you. Because you may not know that you've done anything, but you could have. But whatever you've done, you ask God to forgive you first, and then you forgive that person. I even had chances to go to these people and ask them to forgive me. I mean, I forgive them. You know, I asked them. You know, I told him I forgive him. You know, many times God will send us back, and He'll allow us to say to those persons, he give us that opportunity, that chance to say, man, I forgive you. And that opportunity comes to everybody. And so when the opportunity comes, you take it. And to let them know, you know, so they can be healed. Because they may be bothered by what they've done to you over the years. You know, they could have been bothered for years. But when that opportunity comes, you release them. And man, I forgave you. And I forgive you now. You know, if you don't feel like you've been forgiven, then his healing takes place. His conscience rests. You know, because when people do you wrong, don't think that their conscience don't bother them. You know, because guilt will eat you up. So this is how I did it. So I don't know no easier way to do it. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Now, the hard part about that, and I'm thinking about a 11-year-old or a 12 or 13-year-old that's being abused by a 16, 17-year-old. What in the world could an 11-year-old or 12-year-old have done to put themselves in a position? I mean, I would think that would be hard to forgive myself for being a kid.
Well, that's
for being
I said if you have done anything to cause this to happen. I didn't say the person actually did it, you know, put himself in that position. I said if he have done something unknowingly, you know, many times we unknowingly that we've done a lot of things. So if it's unknowingly, you know, Lord forgive me. Because that's what I mean by that.
All right, gotcha.
You understand that?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
Somewhat, but I'm still kind of. I can understand. There's still that part of me that's wondering, a child that's being taken advantage of. How can you say, forgive me for what I've done? I was the one that was being taken advantage of. I didn't know what this was until you brought it to me. I didn't.
Well, it don't necessarily have to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be that kid was trying to do anything sexual. But he could have been in disobedience to his parents. You know what I mean? So it could be anything else that triggered or got that kid in the position to be tortured or raped or whatever the case may be. So, yeah. So I mean, it's either or. You know, whether he was in that for sexual or something, or being mischievous, or trying to explore or experience. So, you know, kids, man, these kids. Like you say, they're exploring something. Do you understand that?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Do anybody have anything else? Any comments, B. Ray? You got any questions? Comments?
No, I'm all questioned out. Everything was answered.
Well, bless the Lord.
Amen. I do believe that it was very powerful to speak about these things tonight. I do believe somebody needed to hear it. You know, a lot of times women come out, you know, there's lots of movements for women that, you know, have come out and spoken about, you know, the things that they've been through. But, you know, I would agree with Keith Smiling tonight. You know, Pastor, we appreciate you speaking. You know, on the things that you experienced as a child, and we thank God that you were able to see that God was the only one that you needed, because today you've spoken to a lot to the world. So many people are tuned in tonight across the globe that needed to hear exactly that.
Well, and that's the truth, that'll set people free if they accept it. you know, because, God has been too good to me not to tell the truth. You know, God is going to manifest a lot of things in this season. People just don't realize he's going to open up so many things, and he's going to pull the sheets off, and he's going to pull the covers off, and he's going to pull so many things off, even great leaders and the pulpit and everything else. And he's doing it now. And so we have to be in that place of transparency before the people in this hour. It's not going to be church as usual whenever they do allow the church to open. I don't know why I'm way over here, but I got to tell you. It's not going to be church as usual is what I'm telling you. It's going to be unusual church because of what God is doing in this hour to fill his vessels, the ones that he's putting in place. Because many great pastors and bishops, and they're leaving the scene. I mean, they're leaving the scene quickly. But God is going to, he's going to raise up the ones he wants in this season to get the church to a place where they're pulling people out of the fire. Amen, the fire. They're pulling people out of the fire. They're getting people delivered. They're getting them saved. Amen, really getting them saved and not playing hokey-poke with their finances and trying to water down the word to compromise and have the Walmart syndrome. Got to cut the prices just to keep the people coming. It ain't going to be none of that. It's going to be all God, baby. It's going to be God, and his power is going to be so prevalent in this hour. It's going to unfold before the people's eyes. You watch what God do in this season. It's going to be tremendous. Hallelujah. Yes, I feel the power of God right there, brother. It's going to be so powerful, man. Look here, man. People going to walk in off the street and get delivered just by stepping in the building. I'm telling you, it's going to be that powerful. You watch out. You watch what God do in this season. I'm telling you, the heat of God is boiling in some of y'all. Some of y'all feeling the power of God right in the center of your chest. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord for his presence upon you right now. Father, we just thank you for this conversation tonight, God. We thank you for the pieces that you have put together in these people's lives in this season. We thank you for the puzzle, God, that you're piecing us back together. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing upon every household that's listening right now. Let your presence reside in every home, tearing down the strongholds over every family. Father, in the name of Jesus, destroying the yoke of bondage, the yoke of incest and rape, Father, all of the things behind secret doors and secret closets, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, break it up, destroy it. Send the anointing that destroys the yoke. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, move up on the leaders, God, that you're going to use in this hour to pull your people out of the fire. Father, in the y'all going to make me preach. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord for what you're doing, God, in this season of your people's life. God, we thank you for turnaround in this season for the church of the living God. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. God, we praise you. We give you glory. And Father, we just lift up our leaders over there in Africa, God. We lift up those over there in China, Lord, hallelujah. Those that are being martyred and slain for the sake of the gospel. We lift up Israel and Jerusalem. God, we even lift up President Trump, God, that he obeys
right
you
now,
in this season.
Right now,
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, turn this place around according to your word, your will, and your timing. In Jesus' name,
hallelujah.
God, we thank you.
Jesus. Jesus
we give
name.
You praise
thank
and glory.
You,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah,
amen.
God. We bless
thank
your name,
Lord,
Jesus.
God. Bless your name, Jesus.
We bless the Lord,
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. That was powerful.
Ooh, right.
Power.
My
thank
God.
You,
Lord.
Mind, body, and soul.
Bless your name.
My
Big
God.
Joe.
We bless the Lord.
I am your host, Big Joe. We are right here with Pastor Marcus Harris of the Fresh Oil Worship Center. Pastor Harris, one more time, give us the address of your church. I'm sure they can look up your information. Give us the address and the name of your church, please.
Amen. Fresh Oil Worship Center. 2638 North Edgewood Terrace in Fort Worth, Texas. We bless the Lord for you. Thanks, man. Amen. That number again to the conference line is 712-832-8328 or 425-436-6260, access code 1180650 #. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord for you, man. Thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, I thank you. I thank you. And this is the first time I actually got a prayer in without having to ask somebody to pray us out.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank the Lord. He does his thing.
And again, I'm going to listen to the Spirit. And, Pastor, I'm going to ask you to pray us out, if you don't mind.
Okay. No problem. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God, for this gathering on this line, Lord. Every ear that's listening, God, we thank you for infiltrating every household with your power. Father, touching their, even their bodies, God, those that are sick, Lord, with this disease, Lord God, whatever is going on in their bodies, we thank you for healing. Touching them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father, we just thank you for overshadowing them in the night watches, Lord God, that their mind and body rest, Lord, in your presence and in your power, sending your angels of protection around them as they sleep, being unto us a wall of fire, being the glory in the midst. And Father, I ask that you would look upon Big Joe, Lord God, touch his mind, his heart, for the criteria that he needs in this hour, Lord God, to keep this thing going. Oh, and the sister that is connected with him, Lord God, and all those that are connected with the line right now, God, that important things be spoken on this line, God, that would help people, Lord, that would deliver people and set them free from their issues, their traumas, their sicknesses, their diseases, Father, the mental illnesses. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask your presence, God, that it will move all over this world, God, wherever this line is open, Lord, into the ears of those that hear. You said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. And God, we thank you for increasing our faith in this season. Lord, not to look unto man, but look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, we just thank you, God, for the turnaround in every household that's listening in right now. We ask that you would cover us and cover us in your blood and dismiss us from this line, but never from your presence until we meet again on next Tuesday, 6:30. God, we thank you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. B-Ray. B-Ray. I got to end B-Ray. With okay. Bless somebody else. I'm sorry. B-Ray is our program director. Kia D is our boss. Kia D, are you there?
I am here, yes.
That is our boss. That is and that is Pastor Marcus Harris. T. Smiley.
Yes, sir.
Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
He
I'm
is
here.
A director as well. And he got his hands in a lot. He's about to start up his own show.
That ain't Ricky Smiley, little brother. Oh, okay. Okay.
Hey, you got a head like him, though.
Oh, boy. Wow. Bless the Lord.
Yes, that is everybody. B-Ray, we got to end with Bless Somebody Else. I got to end with Bless Somebody Else. That song is really on my heart right now.
Hey, it's funny you said that. I got a friend on that sings with that group right there, and they mentioned his name. They called his name out, Roosevelt Griffin. I went to school with him, graduated.
Really?
From him, so, yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Pastor Harris, you are also an awesome singer. I've heard through the grapevine that you was working on your album. Can we get a copy? Can we get a copy? Can we get a single? I'm gonna put you on spot like that. I am. Can we
I'm
be
not,
the first?
I'm not quite done with it. I kind of slowed down since the COVID virus.
You can give us what you got, and we'll play a song until you finish it. How about that?
All right. That'll work. Yeah, we'll do something.
Me and B-Ray, we can definitely sing background on your album, Pastor.
All right.
Pastor P's like we used to do all day long, okay? We got you, okay?
Oh, my
God. We will make it happen.
All right, make it happen. All right, that'll work.
Now, Kia D. Now I'm not sure if you recognize who that is. You know, Pastor Mark Harris that has been on the show a couple of times?
Yes.
This is his brother.
You are kidding me. Oh, see, small world. Such a small world.
Wow.
Wow, that's one of my favorite people. Absolutely. Well, look, I got two favorite people now. That's amazing. Listen, absolutely amazing. I can't wait for this to be listed. I was just thinking, I can't wait to get to your church. I definitely want to come visit.
Definitely
want to come visit, without a doubt.
All right. We bless the Lord for that. Yeah, can't wait
Amen. Awesome song. Well, definitely, I'm glad that we're definitely connected, and I'm sure we'll be meeting each other soon.
All right.
It has been wonderful night. Thank you for tuning in right here on Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I think I got just a few more minutes. Does anybody have a last comment, final thought?
You know, I would like to say, if anybody out there has to deal with any kind of abuse on any level, you know, don't internalize that. It's not fair to you at all to internalize at all. You know, it's not your fault. You did nothing wrong, but you do need to tell somebody that can help you. Don't just tell somebody that's lateral, that's not going to take that information anywhere. Tell somebody that can definitely help you and help pull you out of that. So there's so many trusting people in the world. I know you're saying right now, man, I ain't got nobody I can trust. There are so many trusting people that are really, really in this world. And we're right here. Some of us are right here on We Talk Radio Network. You got them at your local police station and your local fire station. Everybody there isn't bad. You know, you got
all of us right here. We definitely going to do something.
Absolutely. We got a whole crew of people who come rescue. We love it. That's what we do. You know, so we love to help. That's why we have these shows, Mind, Body, and Soul Radio. That's why Big Joe has these types of topics, so that we can ensure people are being helped and blessed for years to come. So, yeah.
Amen.
Good night, y'all. We're going to call this a night. Pastor Harris,
right.
Thank you so much.
When we use our lives to bless others, it makes the world a better place. So I reached out to some of my friends that I know have blessed the world to encourage you to find a way.
Bless somebody else.
Bless somebody else.
I know. God has been
Incomparable.
that's my vow.
Lord, sing the harvest.
Every time you bless,
every time you bless,
you can trust
you
me.
You can trust
to
me.
To bless somebody else.
Trust me to bless somebody.
Pass the smoking orphan, my man.
Lord, send the harvest.
Send the harvest.
And every time you bless,
the beautiful American family.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.